Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the season for giving gifts. And what a lovely tradition gift giving is, once you get past all the consumer pressure. Most people, even kids, know that giving really is more satisfying than receiving. Although receiving gifts is pretty wonderful. I wonder what gifts you are looking forward to giving this year. I made a special hat for my sister for Christmas, and normally it takes me about 2 or 3 days to make a hat, but this hat took 9 days because it really challenged my skills, and I really enjoyed working on it, and I'm really looking forward to seeing her wear it. That's the kind of gift that I'm looking forward to giving. Now, maybe there are some gifts that you're looking forward to receiving this year, but if you are like me, you're even more likely to enjoy the gifts that surprise you or that catch you off guard, even more than you are to appreciate the gifts that you requested. Gifts don't have to be big or expensive or impressive. In fact, I think God is most at work in the small gifts, the gifts that show the heart of the other person, the drawing or the potholder made by a kid, gifts that transform both the giver and the recipient. In our story today of Mary and Elizabeth, Mary is both receiving and giving gifts. We know a little bit about Mary by now. We know where she lives in Nazareth, and we know she's engaged to be married to Joseph. But who is Elizabeth? She doesn't show up in any Christmas carols. She doesn't show up later in the story after her child is born. All that we know to date from the Bible is that Elizabeth is related to Mary, and then Elizabeth is the wife of the priest Zechariah, and that she is pregnant, as the text says, while getting on in years. And you can make up your own mind about what age that might be. But she is bearing a child who will prepare the way of the Lord. And it is, in fact, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that the angel appears to Mary and baffles her by saying that she will bear a son to be called the Son of God. And Mary's response to Gabriel is to say, well, let it be with me according to your word. She is going to do what God asks of her, no matter how hard it is. She will bear this gift of a child and become an unwed mother. And later she will watch when her son is arrested and tried and crucified. Through all these things, Mary will be obedient to God. And her obedience is a foreshadowing of Jesus' obedience. Maybe he learns it from her. Maybe he learns from Mary how to be obedient to his Father through all things, even unto death. That's a gift that Mary shares with Jesus. Now, the very first thing that Mary does once she learns she is pregnant is she goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth. And I really like this scene of the two pregnant women supporting each other for 3 months until shortly before John is born. Mary gives Elizabeth the gift of time. And you can really imagine that Elizabeth gives Mary the gift of maturity and perhaps a little bit of experience, although neither of them has been pregnant before. As Mary prepares for Jesus' birth and Elizabeth enters her last trimester, they support each other in faith. They are the only two ones who know the identity of the child that Mary carries. They know physically in their bodies that he is the Son of God. Because Elizabeth isn't just another woman, she is also a believer. She recognizes that Mary is pregnant and calls her the mother of her Lord, because the child in her belly has leapt for joy, witnessing to the coming of Christ. So Mary didn't hide away when she found out she was pregnant. She joined in praise and communion with this other person who is also experiencing the mighty works of God. And they are encouraging each other in faith, opening this wonderful gift called pregnancy together. So Mary is obedient, and she chooses community with another believer. And finally, she also tells us more about who God is and what this child will be like by extension. So Mary sings this amazing song of praise, the Magnificat, and she talks all about God's amazing deeds, which are past and present and yet to come. In fact, in this song, what Mary is doing is giving kind of a character sketch of God, telling us what God is like and how God can be expected to act. We learn that God delights in reversals, lifting up the lowly and feeding the hungry, and giving the rich and full a taste of the emptiness that leads to a longing for God. God is not on the side of the powerful, but his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. These things that Mary sings about, they're not unusual things for God. They're things that God does habitually. God has done things like this in the past, and God will do these things again and again through Jesus Christ, bringing down the powerful and lifting up the lowly. These are God's gifts to the world. So Mary brings us these many gifts as a role model for us in her obedience, that gift of recognizing the need for obedience in our lives. Obedience can be hard, especially not just for kids, but for adults too. I mean, if you go into a continuing education classroom, the adults are much more likely to misbehave than are the kids. How are you being called to be obedient to God at this point in your life? Is God asking you to do something that you might be resisting? Look at Mary as your role model in this. Mary also chooses Christian community. But sometimes it is easier to go it alone when things are hard or when we are in difficulty. Don't we often want to present a facade of perfection to others, especially to other Christians, because we're afraid that they're going to critique our failings? But Mary comes to Elizabeth and finds not criticism, but support. And isn't that what we can do together? Support each other in this Christian community, knowing that we are stronger and more faithful together than anyone can be by themselves. Finally, Mary is a role model for us who tells the world about who God is, about who her child will be. All too often, we keep our faith to ourselves, and we don't tell others about what God has done for us. And Mary's song of praise invites us to praise God by telling others about the amazing things God has done, to look for God in the reversals of life, the lowly lifted up and the hungry filled with good things. This is the good news that Mary lives out for us. This is the gift she gives us. For she who has been a lowly woman has been lifted up to be the mother of Christ. She has been lifted up to be the bearer of the Son of God. The God whom we meet in Scripture is one who gives generous gifts. God gives the wonder of creation. Did anyone see the beautiful full moon this morning? It was gorgeous. And creation just brings all of us life and sustenance. God gives us the miracle of reconciliation and salvation through the crucifixion and resurrection, the Easter story. God gives the surprise of transformation through the Holy Spirit. And God gives his amazing gift of a child born for us. Mary is blessed with gifts. Not only the gift of motherhood, the gift of this special baby, but the gift of faith. She believes. She knows God is faithful, and she proclaims it. And of all the gifts that we give and receive this Christmas, this is the most precious one, the one we receive from Mary, from the Christmas story. And this is the most precious and lasting gift that we have to give to others, our proclamation that God is faithful and loving. And so give it, give it. Give it freely, with an open hand, expecting nothing in return. For it is God's ultimately to give and ours simply to share. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.